This is The Book in the Spade, a report on the latest discoveries and developments in biblical archaeology. Here's your host, Gordon Govier.
The earliest biblical text ever found in an archaeological excavation is the Aaronic blessing, or the priestly blessing, of Numbers 6:24-26, found in 1979, inscribed on silver amulet scrolls, dated to the 7th century B.C. Recent articles in Israeli newspapers mentioned that discovery as one of the top 10 archaeological discoveries in Israel. Another article said a new park has been created at the site of that excavation called Ketef Hinnom, overlooking the Hinnom Valley and the old city of Jerusalem. With those articles in mind, I excavated an old interview out of our archives with Israeli archaeologist Gabriel Barkai, who was in charge of the Ketef Hinnom excavation, which found the silver amulet scrolls. He said there were several reasons for the delay between the discovery and its announcement several years later.
The discovery, first of all, was made in July 1979. The object was found by a very talented student who worked with us later on, an American girl by the name of Judy Headley from Toledo, Ohio. We hesitated a lot with the object. It was found rolled up, a strap of silver, which was found rolled up, leaving a hole through which one could, in antiquity, have a string and they could hang it on the neck or on the chest or around the forehead or something like that. We hesitated a lot how to unroll it. It lied in the ground for 2,600 years. Of course, it is not something that was yesterday rolled up and you can just open it. We tried different techniques, different methods. Part of them were harmful to the object, and we damaged part of it, until the Israel Museum people in Jerusalem discovered a technique to unroll it with the help of a special emulsion that they developed. With the help of that technique, they succeeded to open several other objects since then. Now, this was the first reason. Second reason was that until I had the hope of continuing the excavations there, I kept a low profile, sometimes lower than flat. Even my best friends didn't know about the place, the discoveries, etc. Because if I would come out with the discoveries of that place, which showed to be the richest in small finds in the history of archaeology of Jerusalem, which is very long and very complicated, close to 150 years of archaeological excavations, this is the richest spot. And if I only had published it or let people know about it, hundreds of people would visit the place, and it is the heart of the city. It wouldn't make excavations possible. So I came out with it to the public only much later, after we unrolled it and deciphered part of the inscription. Second, when I realized that currently I'm not going to excavate there.
So the excavation is finished then, at that site?
Meanwhile, there is a lot to be still excavated there. We made a geophysical survey of the hill, showing that there is potential for many more discoveries, and we even located some of the subterranean monuments via archaeological prospecting. That is to say, there is a large church, which we didn't excavate fully. Under the church, there are buildings of much earlier periods, dating back to the Old Testament times. There are also caves, man-made, hand-hewn caves, which are still covered, and we hope maybe in the future to find the possibility to work on that. Meanwhile, we have enough material from that place to be processed archaeologically, to be studied, to be preserved, and even for that we do not have the budget. So to go into further digging without taking care of the finds of the earlier seasons would be a sin.
My impression is that unlike most areas of Jerusalem where archaeological excavations might take place, you don't have to worry too much about further construction in this area because of all the parks that are there.
I would say the contrary. I hope somebody would start digging there for foundations for a building. That would give us an opportunity to renew the excavation as a salvage dig. That solves also the financial problems of such a dig, because those people initiating the structures, they would need the legal and freeing of the area, and they would probably finance a dig in the place.
Mm-hmm. I see.
That is my hope, that in the future somebody would do some building operations there.
Okay.
And in fact, about 15 years ago, the Menachem Begin Heritage Center was built adjacent to the Kedef Hinnom excavation site, possibly the opportunity that Gabriel Barkai was looking for, although we don't have any information to confirm that. As we continued this 1983 conversation, Gabriel Barkai described the significance of the 7th century BC silver amulet scrolls that were uncovered by his excavation of the tombs at this site.
First of all, it is the first time in the archaeology of the Holy Land that we have such a thing. Such an object was not found in Israel or in the neighboring countries from this early period. We talk here about the 7th century BC, the time of Prophet Jeremiah, the time of King Manasseh, King Amon, King Josiah of Judah, and such objects were not known before. We have only one possible parallel, which comes from very far, from the island of Sardinia, where there was a strip of metal found with some Phoenician inscription on it, in the Elephantine papyri, which were found in the island opposite the city of Aswan in Egypt. There is a mentioning of the term a phylactery of silver, and we didn't know how such an object looked like. We didn't know what it means. We didn't know anything of this kind of object, first time that it appears. Second, this object is written with densely scratched characters, 15 lines of writing, and every writing is a blessed thing in archaeology. This is a direct regard from the First Temple period, from the time of the Davidic dynasty. The third thing is that among the many characters appearing in the inscription, first thing that we deciphered, first thing that was obvious, were two appearances of the tetragrammaton, or the four characters, Yud, He, Vav, He, which would be transliterated as YHWH, being the unpronounceable name of the Lord. In this long period of excavations in Jerusalem, there was not yet any object found from any of the periods with the name of the dweller of the Temple of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the center of the worship and the cult of the Lord. Jerusalem was a theological value by itself in the Judaite and Jewish concept of the worship of the Lord. And very interestingly, we didn't have any occurrence until today of the name of the Lord in the archaeology of Jerusalem. This is the first time, and I feel very much privileged to be the one in whose excavation it turned up.
So the name of the Lord, as it was written in those times, it would have been on papyrus or something like that, which was perishable?
I assume they wrote the name of the Lord in all kinds of materials. This is a literate period. Keith Scoville knows it well from organizing his exhibition about writing. This is a literate period, when most of the people of Jerusalem knew how to read and write, most of them. They wrote on stone, they wrote on potsherds, they wrote on papyrus, they wrote on parchment, they wrote on metal strips, they wrote on everything. But Jerusalem got destroyed so many times. Its bowels were turned upside down so many times by massive and intensive destructions. The city's history, gapless history, caused the disappearance of the monuments of the past. So we very simply were not lucky enough until now to find it. Maybe it is my special luck.
This find, obviously, a very important find, and the dig, as you said, went on for several years, and so there are obviously other finds as well. What else did you find on the site?
This objects, by the way, two of them. Mm-hmm, we had two okay. such silver objects. They came in a repository, which is a place where they deposited remains from a burial cave. They took all the burial goods and the burial gifts, which were put together with the dead, with the remains of the deceased, and put them down into a repository in order to make room for the next generation in the burial place. Inside this chamber, which was found sealed, again, by the way, for the first time in the history of archaeology of Jerusalem that we have a sealed repository, in this very small chamber we had more than 700 objects, about 100 of them made of silver, about 350 of them pottery vessels, intact, many of them. We had the objects of glass, of stone, of alabaster, of iron, all kinds of materials, some of them of semi-precious stones. Very, very interesting assemblage. We have also material from the vicinity of this repository in different squares, as we call them. We opened different areas, excavation pits, and we have rich finds from each of them. Every small spot was a surprise. The first half hour of the excavation in 1980, one of our youngest volunteers, 8 years old Andrew Giacomakis, came up with a small bagel made of gold. We had all kinds of goodies, unbelievable amount of goodies, and I feel really blessed and privileged to have this gusher of finds.
I think many volunteers who work in excavations, myself included, know the experience of digging for days and days and not necessarily finding anything.
We had this feeling also among some of our volunteers. In 1979, we found a very beautiful golden earring, which came up in the hands of a young soldier girl who joined us for one day only. I insisted with some of the volunteers that earrings come in pairs. So the next season, we very carefully sifted all the ground and all the dirt around that spot. There was a trio of volunteers working there, three of them working hard and trying to sift all the material, and they were kind of frustrated. After a couple of days of hard work in the sun, they didn't find anything, so they sat aside in the shade, and then I came in and began sifting myself, and here it was, the second golden earring. So there is sometimes luck in these matters, and that thing of sometimes frustration of not finding anything, I would say it is not important. It is really not important. Archaeology is not a treasure hunt. Of course, it is very good when we have the objects. It's very blessed, and we hope to have it. But even if we do not have those treasures and those goodies, the very fact that we can reconstruct the life of people in antiquity, even if we have just very simple potsherds, very simple walls, and without any treasures, that is enough for us, and we are very, very satisfied. Again, if one is interested in treasure hunt, it's better to go to a jeweler's shop and buy it there.
A first-hand account of one of the most important excavations in the history of Jerusalem at Kitef Hinnom. This interview took place within a year or two of the beginning of the Book and the Spade program 43 years ago. Archaeologist Gabby Barkai was our first guest. We're sorry to report that Gabby Barkai passed away on January 11, 2026. He was 81 years old. We've talked with a number of archaeologists and scholars who've worked with Gabby Barkai over the past decades and written a retrospective on his impact as an archaeologist and also as a teacher and mentor to a whole generation of American evangelical scholars through his work at the American Institute of Holy Land Studies, now known as Jerusalem University College. We'll have a link to that article on our webpage at radioscribe.com. We have many other resources on our website, including breaking news videos from the Israel Antiquities Authority, information on our Biblical Archaeology News magazine, Artifacts, and information on our June 2026 trip to Turkey, where we will follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, visiting sites from Antioch to Ephesus. That's all at radioscribe.com. I'm Gordon Govier. Tune in again next time for more Backgrounders on the Bible through Biblical Archaeology on The Book and the Spade.
The Book and the Spade is produced by Scribe Media. For information on Biblical Archaeology resources or obtaining a copy of this program on CD, go to our website at radioscribe.com.